Welcome to the Anxiety at Work podcast. I'm Chester Elton. This is my co-author and dear friend, Adrian Gosta.
Well, welcome everyone, and we hope that the time you're going to spend with us will help remove the stigma of anxiety and mental health in the workplace and your personal life. And we invite experts from the world of work and life to give us ideas and, most importantly, tools to deal with anxiety in our world.
And our guest today is our new friend, Rachel McLeod, who is a mental health therapist and emotional wellness coach. Through years of helping clients move their anxiety, depression, and trauma disorders into remission, she has developed a program that empowers people to skillfully get rid of symptoms and heal. She is also the facilitator of the Facebook group Releasing the Baggage of Anxiety, Depression, and Traumatic Stress, where she delivers free training on leading interventions that help people get rid of symptoms, not just coping or managing them. Her mission is to empower people to do their own healing work effectively, safely, and skillfully. Welcome to the show, Rachel. We're delighted to have you on our humble podcast.
Thank you for having me.
This is great to have you on. Somebody with your expertise to be able to help us walk through these ideas of anxiety, trauma. So first off, give us a little background. Why did you choose this field to specialize in?
You know, I don't have a great, I don't have a great how I got there. I kind of was an athlete. I like people. I needed a job. I needed to do something while I was there. Like, it's not really phenomenal. I ended up getting a degree in social work because, again, I really liked people. And I want to see people do well. And I was a therapist. And I came out of grad school. I was a therapist. And I hated it. I was bad. People were not healing. And so here I was. I had done all this schoolwork, kind of like flying by the seat of my pants a little bit, but I paid attention. I got good grades. I was serious about this. And then I go out and I practice and nobody's healing. It was awful. So I quit. I'm mad. I can't believe I got a whole degree in this. I can't believe this is even a field. We just talk. That's what we do. And so I quit. And about 3 years later, I had about my third mental health crisis. I did not know that I had a crisis before. But after this one, I realized, oh, that's what that was. And here I was with three small children and raging anxiety disorder. And I'm still mad at the whole therapy community by that time. And so I was out there and my son had this this health issue. It wasn't a big deal, but it was a big deal to me. And I was like, told my doctor, I was like, this was your kid, we wouldn't be having this conversation. She wanted me to try these things that I knew weren't going to work. They don't work for anybody else. Why are they going to work for us? And so I told her that, stomped off to the park and talked some trash about this, my doctor, you know. And they said, well, why don't you try this woman? And they sent me up the hill to this woman. I made an appointment. I went up there, and she had this little metal plate, and she sat my son on it, and she started handing him these vials. And she was doing some electromagnetic thing, and my eyes were big as saucers. And I was like, what is happening here? But 3 days later, I followed her instructions, and that the problem with my son was resolved. So I went back, and I was like, well, I have some problems. What can your little machine do for me? And we didn't do a whole lot of that, but she said, here, try this intervention. It'll change your life. And so she handed me the training DVD set for emotional freedom techniques, which was the first intervention that I used, that I learned. And it was a weird intervention. It was not talk therapy, which was awesome for me because I'm still mad. This woman kind of spooked me out. So if she had told me to stand on my head and count to five, it'll help change your life, I would have done it. I'm watching this thing. You're tapping on different parts of your body. And so I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. I get in bed that night. I didn't really try it out, but I get in bed that night and I have racing thoughts and I could not sleep. And I was having insomnia. I'd been having this for a long time. And so I tried this intervention then. And I'm tapping on the points in my body and on my hands. And I yawn. It took me like 30 seconds to figure out the points and tap on them. And then I was like, interesting. So I do it again. I knock out. I wake up the next morning. I didn't even decide to go to sleep. I just woke up and I had slept, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is a thing. What else can I try this on? And so I started going after the symptoms that were showing up in my life. I was collecting jars. I had obsessive compulsive disorder. So I was collecting things. I had things organized. I had hangers, and I just had this whole elaborate way of trying to have control over my life that I had lost lots of control over my life, because the same process the brain uses to resolve symptoms of anxiety, depression, and traumatic stress is the same process it uses to make solutions in your life and to help you live well. And so since everything was broken down, that process was not completing for me. I was also not solving my problems, which was why I was in a mental health crisis and why my life was tanking, because I could not solve regular problems. And so I start using this on everything, and I just start healing, and I'm getting better, and I'm less confused, and my mind's clearing up. And I just, and so I tapped my way out of that problem. And I thought that tapping was emotional freedom techniques, also known as tapping now, was like the intervention. And so then I thought, well, I went back to work later because I was less mad at the industry. And I was working in a hospital, and I started having panic attacks at work because I was having to work on the cancer floor. And I was afraid of that at the time. And so I'd be at my office, and I'd see words, and I just, like, body parts, like lungs or whatever, and I just panic. And I realized, why don't I try this tapping thing here? You know, why am I not doing this, right? So I quickly worked through the panic attacks I was having, and I ended up having a great time on that floor, that unit. And I started helping other people. I was like, I bet this would work. And so the hospital was letting me try this with people until they realized that it was that. Anyway, they fired me.
Yeah, you know, I want to jump in, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of people listening, and you've had this, you know, feedback already. They kind of go, this is a little out there for me.
Absolutely.
You know, you tapped on yourself and you fell asleep. It's kind of like, you know, Spock in Star Trek, you know, zaps the guy and then he loses consciousness. You got over your skepticism. Clearly not. You haven't gotten over your rage.
No, I'm good now. I'm good now.
Yeah. Are you sure you don't want to talk about it? I'm just curious. The thing is how do you get people past that skepticism? Do they actually have to experience it to get over that?
I take them through an experience, but really with the interventions that I learned more interventions along the way. I learned that this is actually not the interventions. It's actually brains do this, resolve symptoms beautifully. They have a process for it. That process gets shut down because of brain function, so, and how we're designed. But when you help the survival system part of the brain to get along with the healing process that the rest of the body is doing, symptoms resolve. And so it's actually, but what I like to do is give people an experience with the interventions. I was like, okay, what do you got going on? What's distressing you? Let's go. And we apply the intervention. Then it takes 30 seconds. So people really will do a before and after. How intense is it now on a scale of 0 to 10? Apply the intervention. How about now? Right. And I like to have them find the symptom in their body, because our body is experiencing our emotions just like we are. And so there's I want to say always, but there's usually a sensation in the body that goes along with it. And so we kind of quantify this, and then we do a before and after, and they're like, what just happened? Healthy brain function just happened, you know,
because here's the thing, you know, you've talked about it. People still have mental health issues after years and years of therapy and coaching, right? So there's obstacles of getting over those symptoms we face, right? How do you get people all over those symptoms?
Yeah. Ask me that question, the beginning part of that. So,
sure. Well, wait, you know, you've already said, look, we've still got all these mental health issues, even after years of therapy and coaching.
Well, okay. So this
and
is
so
my answer.
The idea is, you know, those obstacles. Yeah. How do you get them over those symptoms? How do you?
We need the brain to solve these problems. A lot of times we try to, tell the brain the solution, but the brain hasn't found its own solution. So it's like, I hear you, but we don't really believe you. And so if the brain doesn't, if the, if, if, if only, and that's like what happens in talk therapy, is talking is the strategy for the front part of the brain. It's the prefrontal cortex is native language. And so talk therapy is for that part of the brain. That's not where the problem is. That part of the brain doesn't have the problem. We don't have logical problems with symptoms. We have emotional problems. We have physical problems, right? The racing heart, the ache in our stomach, the dread, the dissociation, the panic attacks. Like, that's not a logical problem. We logically know we don't need to panic right now. So what? Our whole body is moving in that direction. Everybody else doesn't know that. And so the work is really to use the brain's own process for the brain to learn that we don't need to panic here. And that process is electrical. And so when we can work with the part of the brain that's blocking that process, which is the survival system, and the survival system's native language is the body. It's paying attention to the information coming up from the body. So when we use interventions that can kind of hack the body's message and send that message from the body to the survival system that we're fine, we're okay, that part of the brain responds instantly and shifts out of survival mode into more of a safety mode. And that safety mode is where the healing pathways are unblocked. And so the healing process can quickly resolve things. And if you think about this being electrical, which is what we're working with, electrical communications with the nervous system, if you can get that survival system engaged for 30 seconds, that's a lot of electricity that can pass from the body, from the subconscious, from all parts of us into the front of the brain, where that's the part of the brain, that thinking center, that's the part of the brain that really sorts all this information out and really it helps the whole brain learn, right? And so once the information gets up there that this body is trying, like the sensation in our stomach, when that information, because it is information, it's not just a sensation in our body, it's usually memories, it's usually emotions, it's usually, there's lots of information in the challenges we're facing in our body. It's trying to make it to the front. It's trying to say, hey, I have this problem. And the front of the brain really needs that information. And so when we get that survival system to let that information pass through, done. Symptoms are done, and the deal here is that if we just meet symptoms where they're at in our day, we will just be resolving symptoms where we're at, which is wonderful, but that's not how we need to get down to the root issues and resolve those. And that takes more skill and more strategy, but that's where the lasting change comes from. I don't find that right, in talk therapy, you're really talking about stuff. You're not actually doing brain work, the brain work required to resolve the disorder, to resolve the symptoms. And I don't find that many people are really great at getting to the root issues. And that's a lot of the complaints I hear from people, is that I just talk and talk and talk, but I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. Or my therapist is like, where do you want to start today? I don't know where to start today. I don't know how to resolve symptoms. Don't you know how to, who here among us knows how to resolve this? You know, and so there are really great strategies to really take a symptom. I can know exactly what we're going to work on. I ask specific questions. One specific question, my clients know. Okay, the question, they're going to answer the question. And within the three, four sentences they say about the sentence, I already know what we're working on. And then we'll take that and go very deep. And so because we want to get to the operating system. We want to get to the foundation of this thing and create change and wellness from there and get the brain to do that work.
Well, one of the things with, with the EFT is very physical. That's what you've found. And as we always talk with anxiety, you have to bring people to the present. You have EMDR that works for some people, doesn't.
Correct.
Cognitive behavioral therapy works for some, doesn't for others. And so what we're finding, I think you're suggesting here, that this is definitely worked for you. I've had other people who talk therapy actually can be kind of helpful for them, but they're maybe very verbal people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I love what you're getting at too, is to getting to the core issues. One of the things that I've noticed you talk about is too, the short path, which I thought was an interesting idea. Our whole mentality nowadays is, how do I get there faster? Because we just don't have the patience for the long process. So how do you get to achieve your dreams, do more with life, but, using this short path? Walk us through that idea.
Yeah. The brain always, our brain is trying to help us resolve things just like we are. I mean, it wants us. We don't think that when we have anxiety, depression, or traumatic stress. We think our brain is torturing us. It's just against us. It wants to beat us. It's beat us down with the anxiety, depression, all the pain sticks, you know. But the truth is, it wants us to heal just like we do. It wants us to get to our goals just like we do. And the actual symptoms we're experiencing are the brain's process to help us reach those goals, and it cannot complete the goal. It cannot complete its process. So using these tools, and I recommend I use these tools with 100% of my clients. I'm trained in four, so I'm matching them. I'm trained in EMDR, thought-filled therapy, energy medicine, and EFT. I teach all of these to my clients so that they can apply them themselves, because I have them apply these for 2 hours a day. I've found that it takes about 120 to 300 hours of specific and targeted brain work to resolve a disorder. And so I teach them the strategies to do this, and I have them work for 2 hours a day, not 2 hour chunks, but I want them to catch their brain struggling. I want them to catch their brain not completing its own healing process. I want them to catch the specific symptoms we're chasing and that we're hunting and we're tracking down. And so, and when we, and I, over the years, I've developed a process to be able to teach them how to find their own symptoms and then to apply the interventions. Applying the interventions is the easiest piece of this. It really is about finding the root issue. And, so the first week I spend getting them trained to work with their brain. The second week we dive into more of the deeper, more complex issues. And then I teach them advanced skills for that. So we stay on the deeper, more complex issues for about 2 weeks there. So week two and three. And by the time they're finished with this, they will have completed about 9 months of therapy in that amount of time. And so not only are they getting the results, but they're growing their skill, which is really important, that because they're going to need to take care of their brain for the rest of their life. It's like a house, you know, there's always dishes to be done. There's always laundry, you know? and if your brain is doing great with that, great. But if it's not, I want my clients to be able, and I want everyone to be able to step in and help their brain out. So,
You know, the analogy of the house is a good one, because there's always a bathroom needs to be fixed,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
At least that's my house. Hey, I really enjoyed the fact that you said symptoms of anxiety, depression, or traumatic stress, they're actually opportunities for expansion.
Totally.
You know, yeah, explain that a little bit, because when people are in traumatic stress and they're anxious, I don't think they're thinking, ooh, good, this is going to be a chance to grow and develop. So explain that a little bit.
Well, as you practice this, 100% of my clients get to that point where they're like, oh, here we go. Here's our opportunity. But what happens is these symptoms, if you, they highlight or they point, they're like access points to malfunctioning brain processes. Right? We experience them at the top as being horrible, awful, but really if we come under them quite a bit, we can see where the brain is malfunctioning or misassociating, right? And so let me use an example. I had a client, I worked with somebody who would have panic attacks in the shower. And so we were able to narrow that down quickly. It had to do with the fog, the air quality, right? And that air quality just would send them into a panic attack. Obviously, nothing's dangerous in the present. But why is their brain whacking out with this and now they're in a panic attack? And so we were able to find that it was a past memory when they were four and they were shamed, sent to the car on a foggy night, and they were in there waiting for their parents to come out. And so there was just so that and the dread of my parents are coming. So that child in that moment was in a panic attack. So the brain was associating the current shower with that past moment. And so that panic attack allowed us to heal that past moment, which resolves so many things. The fear of their parents, they get to work through that, because now at the time in their childhood, they didn't have the resources to do that. A lot of times we'll use our parents as a resource to heal, but if our parents are not available or they're the ones causing the problems, our brain won't get the support it needs to fully process that event, and it kind of gets stuck, unprocessed. And so every time the brain makes association, which we're doing all the time. It's associating that past memory that never made it through the brain's process to begin with. It never completed. And so here comes up this uncompleted package of information that still has and still contains all the distress, all the pain, all the panic, all the horror. And it's coming forward. Our survival system is like, oh, it is scary, isn't it? And now we're in a panic attack. You know, and so we really want to help the brain get this package of information fully through the process so the brain can really strip out all the panic, can really process that stuff, can process all the information and then figure out what it's going to do with it. It always does something amazing with it. It takes even the worst traumas and really it uses it for our function. If it doesn't get it through the process, those worst traumas will be just used to repeat the pain that's stored within those memories repeatedly. And so, but when the brain resolves this, it's done. And so in this moment, we were able to stop the panic attack, and we were also able to heal an old childhood wound and lots of things in there.
So tell us, Rachel, how can people learn a little bit more about your work and what you do?
My website is really the best place to go. That's where you can watch a webinar. You can sign up for my email list. You can see the programs I offer. I offer this as a self-study program. Many people have therapists that are talk therapists that are really great at being supportive, but they don't do this work. And so they want a step-by-step process. And so they can enroll in my program, do that independently or with their therapist. Some people, like me, would never work with a therapist while they needed to recover, and this gives them a step-by-step process and access to some of the top tools in the country to be able to use for themselves. And then I also have a program exclusively for women that's an intensive coaching program that helps, where I walk beside people through this process to give them the support that they need and get the work done. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we love the work you're doing. Kind of last question for me. Our brains, in our book, Anxiety at Work, we say, look, our brains aren't wired to keep us happy. They're wired to keep us safe. That's why they're always working, right? And so how do we get our brains rewired a little bit? If you had one or two tips for our listeners today to say, okay, try this, start here. Is there something simple we can start doing before we jump into something even a little bit more in depth?
Pick up an intervention that works specifically with the survival system. That's actually the part of the brain that is, it's kind of the only part of the brain that wants us to be safe. That's its whole job. And it has the ability to override every other process. The front of our brain, I'm sure, wants us to be organized and functional, and the rest of our brains want us to be happy and creative. But that part, if it decides this is safe, this is not safe, the party's over. Right. So we really want to VIP and like special care this part of the brain. And we want to speak its native language. We want to cater to it. We want to support it. We want to keep it accurate. And these interventions, there's many of them. And I'm only trained in four. I mean, but we need to use the body to communicate with that part of the brain. And so breath work is fantastic. Yoga is great. Acupuncture. There's all these methods of really sending those methods in and those messages, that message of comfort in and really getting the survival system on team safe and team happy. And we really need that part on there. So I would do everything with the survival system. I would not leave it out of anything that we're doing. How are we here on this date? How survival system, how are you doing in this therapy session? How are you doing driving? And it has a whole way of communicating. So learn about that, make your survival system happy, and these tools are really easy and quick to learn to do that.
That's great. Quick question, my last question for you is, so walk us through some of your daily practices to keep yourself as happy and vibrant as you clearly are in this moment. Give us a couple of tips. What are some of the things that keep you happy and engaged and in a good wellness spot?
I use my own program. I love it. I'm the first graduate of it. So I like little parts of it. I will grab the very first. I'm a big fan of the very first exercise. It really just helps me organize my brain and go. But intervention wise, I shuffle through there. I like an alternative use of EMDR, where you're getting that bilateral stimulation. It's the same thing we're getting when we take a walk. And I don't take tons of walks right now. I wish I did. But I still want my brain in that optimized processing mode. And so I wear a product frequently that helps with stress management and all the things. And that's a bilateral stimulation device that provides a little buzzing on left and right. I have it on now. And so people are taking this concept of bilateral stimulation into other areas. The autistic community is loving this. There's professionals are using it, and we're just really wanting to support our brain in different ways. So that's my favorite thing to do right now. In a week from now, it might be different.
Hey, if you had one last thing to share with us that maybe we haven't talked about yet, especially as we regards to the workplace and we're getting to work, people are going into work and it's a stressful COVID, et cetera. What would you kind of one takeaway for the working brain? Give us something that we can work with here.
Well, I'm going to reiterate that your survival system is at work with you, whether you like that or not, and whether you think that this shouldn't be a big deal, I shouldn't have this problem, this is dumb, I shouldn't have to talk about this, I shouldn't have to do anything with any of this stuff or deal with annoying coworkers. Your survival system has an opinion about every single thing that you're doing at work, and really. Using these interventions at work can really get your survival system out on board with, it will increase your productivity tremendously, your happiness, your joy, your ability to solve problems, right? We need tons of ability to solve problems with those annoying coworkers or with the coworkers that, we're having boundary issues with, or our boss or our work, our email list, the emails we don't want to send, the procrastination, that's an anxiety thing. That's a survival system saying, that's dangerous. We'll die.
Yeah. Well, listen, this has been a delight to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for the work you're doing and for your energy and positivity. I know it's a podcast. You've got to see this amazing smile along with, and those of you that have seen a photo of me, I'm really envious of her amazing hair. So thanks for your time, Rachel. Really appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Adrian, really interesting conversation, a little different take than most of our guests. I'm curious, what were some of your key takeaways?
Well, what I really was drawn to at the very beginning, I mean, obviously Rachel's expert in therapy techniques that are a little different, which is good. And because sometimes people are what we call, treatment resistant to anxiety, right, depression, and they don't really know why. And as she was with talk therapy, it just wasn't working for her. Sometimes people are medication resistant. There are different ways you have to try. This idea of EFT or the tapping process, the EMDR, some people react in very visual or body stimulating ways, and that's okay. The point is that I think the overall point is don't give up. Because a lot of people do. They go, I tried Prozac. It didn't work. Great. Well, there are about 4,000 other medications. work through them. Well, I tried talk therapy. It didn't work for me. Try something else. That was my big takeaway.
I agree with you. She was so skeptical. I mean, she even had her degree, right, mm-hmm. in talk therapy. And she said she was over her anger. Although when she was describing it to us, I was thinking maybe not. Maybe not, I thought the idea, too, where she said people are looking for emotional freedom. And I thought that really stuck with me. She was suffering from insomnia, and she was dealing with this and dealing with that. She was looking for emotional freedom. And I thought, aren't we all? Isn't that kind of the holy grail? That I find that therapy that works for me. I find the technique. I've got somebody that can guide me through the process, and I get to that emotional freedom.
Yeah. And there's other things there, too, that I'm taking away, too. When Rachel said, look, if part of the brain feels not safe, it's game over. And this happens at work where, we've got a boss that makes us feel unsafe, a coworker that's a little too close. Why can't I get to that assignment? Well, there's something that's making me feel if I start on this, like I said, my head's going to explode. There's all these worries that come in that we have to think about. OK, let's dive down here. What is really driving this? What am I afraid of? Because you know, you're like your analogy of the fog. We have to strip out all the panic and figure out what's really at work here.
And the application of survival mode, she said, use it everywhere. Interrupt that electrical current. Interrupt that. You know, and whether it's going for a walk or it's meditation or yoga, again, find what works for you. And I loved at the end when she said, you know, some of her practice, she says, well, that's what I'm doing this week. Check with me next week. It may be different. Which I thought
exactly.
was great. You know, it's just you don't do one thing for your whole life. You change, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I love the last thought, you know, look, this is an opportunity for expansion that, you know, if we're having anxiety, can we get to this point where, or depression or trauma, you know, we're dealing with trauma where we go, this is an opportunity for my brain to rewire. If something was happening with our cars, we would fix it. If something happening with our brain, this is an opportunity to refix it. And I think that's just a great way to think about this. It's hard. Nobody said it was easy. But that's our challenge. So, yeah, some really good ideas today. We want to thank Rachel for being on the show. A big thanks to our producer, Brent Klein, to Christy Lawrence, who helps us find such great guests, and to all of you who've listened in.
Yeah, and if you like the podcast, please share it. You know, a lot of great tools and information for people that you may know that are a little anxious, suffering from a little mental health disorder, and hopefully it can help them. We also would love you to join our online community, WeThriveTogether.global. We're creating a safe place to talk about mental health in the workplace and get some advice and develop that kind of safe community. And of course, buy our book, Anxiety at Work, available at fine bookstores everywhere. If you buy 100 books, Adrian will sign every one of them.
Hey, and we love speaking to audiences around the world. We just got a call, I think it was just a day or two ago, from a CEO who picked up our book in the airport of Anxiety at Work and wanted us to speak to his organization. So we love speaking on the topics of wellness, resilience, corporate culture, anxiety at work. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you about your event.
Yeah, we do it live and we do it virtual. Well, listen, thank you all for tuning in, for giving us your time and listening in. And we hope that it was helpful. We hope that you got some good information, maybe a little bit of inspiration, but more importantly, tools to deal with your mental health issues. Thanks so much.